Hello? Does this work already? Yeah, great. Okay. Tim Walcott, Deutsche Bank. Thanks for taking my questions. That would be two or three as a start, please. Firstly, on these quite bullish expectations for general industries, just to understand this, this $465 million is including services, right? What you usually strip out of services? So? Or is it just GI?
You know, it's GI. It's okay. Group. It's just that you don't have...
Okay.
You know, we believe in GI. We have invested in GI. Therefore, it's a $750 million for 2015. So it's, I think it's, you know, it's based on our assumptions on the market. And as you see, GI is a bundle of different markets. This would also show you the potential. If you talk about automotive, we all know automotive. We know our big customers. But for example, in electronics, you know some giants. You know some giants in plastic industries where we never talk about. But there is a big potential. And as mentioned, machine tool industry. There are 500,000 machine tools every year. 1% is sold with robots. The potential of, you know, enough examples I have seen where really automation only getting the cost out will help, and you don't talk about quality, you don't talk about three shifts. I think therefore, well, this was important for me today to show you the variety of applications, and I think for us important that we always for each year pick the market where the end customer is growing fast. You know, in advance for electronics, daily market, which is was picking up already in 2008-09 with the Agilus, 2012, so we get some part of the cake, but we have to be faster on this, and we have to pick the markets like machine tool for the next year, for 2013.
And do you expect the share, the $700 million, would that be roughly the same share as percent of group revenues like it is today?
you know, I think that's the kind of question for your calculation. You know, It is. We have some estimation about the full group. No, it's not. Today we have 27-28% of the whole group is GI. I think you should not now do the whatever 30%, and you do then the other calculation. You should also not assume it's 50%. So it's it should show you that there's a big potential in GI. So we believe in the growth in the automation business, driven by automotive. So and I think also Great Wall. You know, there are lots of questions about what's about automotive. We can talk about Volkswagen, Daimler. And we all believe that clearly Europe will be more difficult, will be stable. Some people are more moving towards U.S. China will help, and China, but we have these new customers in China, which we haven't, you know, which we did not serve over the until 2012. And just that, therefore, I think automotive is some potential, but that's only the GI number.
Okay, all right. And then on your Chinese numbers, can you just remind us maybe how quickly you will be at your, I think it's 5,000 robots capacity, how the ramp-up develops currently?
Very quick. Okay. We had last year approximately 3,000 robots in China, directly from China, and we had an addition another 500 out of Germany delivered, so we had approximately 3,500 in China, a little bit higher maybe. And I think that is something where really it will be 14, later 15, I think more 14 that we have the 5,000. And you remember the numbers in 2009, we had in total 6,500 robots.
All right, and then lastly, maybe not touching on one of the slides, just on the systems division, are there still any plans to potentially spin that off or not? Or where do we stand there?
No, I do not have today the strategic page on systems with me, but clearly you remember that systems is our so-called engineering house. We have strong positions automotive, and we are growing, and we are looking for ways to improve or to also grow our GI business in systems. We have aerospace and logistics as two divisions, so I believe that we see the way of automation is going towards our direction. Explain a bit about the aerospace division, how I see that the heavy automation where the called the plane goes towards the machine is changing, that the robot machine is going towards the plane now today. Something where we see lots of benefits for COCA, and also see that in the logistics piece where logistics we have lots of mobility. You remember maybe there was some logistics company called Kiva, which totally mobile racks, so that it's really lots of software business, but these are ingredients which we do have in Cookout. So we have mobility, we have grippers, we have arms, we have lots of things where you can, we can help and automate these areas. In logistics, we are working together with Grenzenbach, our big shareholder in the U.S., and as you are aware of, Grenzenbach does have a stake in Swisslog. So clearly, we're working on thinking of opportunities, how can we grow the share of GI in both divisions, in robotics, as shown on the page, and also in systems. As you're aware of, it's an ongoing task, which we are doing organically, and clearly we are also testing some ideas. How can we strengthen our position? How can we get regionally stronger? And how can we get more diversified product choice? And that's an ongoing task.
Great, thank you.
Thanks. Also some questions from my side, Stefan Böhm with Commerzbank. The first would be on your cooperation with Daimler. I was wondering if you could just outline the current status, where we are here right now, and when you expect first hard orders to materialize beyond the rear axle assembly. The second one would be on the advanced robotics business. And first of all, if you could share with us the revenue contribution of this business in 2012, maybe also an update on your aspirations to grow the advanced robotics business with customers in the medical solutions arena. And lastly, on the competitive landscape, could you comment on your competitive position and with regards to first the current FX environment, so a weakening yen, and secondly, with regards to pricing, as also your peers are heavily investing in capacities right now. Thank you.
Let me start with Daimler, and maybe I can add something on question two, and maybe to question three. Daimler, it's an collaboration, R&D-based collaboration, that we have worked with Daimler on the man-machine interaction. How can the lightweight robot be part of the assembly of the production, and how can the production in the future be much more efficient? In the end, how can we get more cost out of the system? What are the hours per vehicle? How can we get the hours per vehicle at Daimler side down? The application, you know, the lightweight in the end can do tasks as people, as men can do. And as mentioned today already, in the body in white part of the production, you have an automation degree of 90% plus. In other areas, the automation degree is 50% and lower. And we're expecting talking about this area where you can get the efficiencies down or efficiencies up and the cost down. If you, for example, have in the transmission assembly, in the motor assembly, in the final assembly, in the car body, really have more automation. Today, it's really 80% manually. And there are areas where we're working together. And we are also fixed numbers of lightweight robots are called Interlect are behind the projects which we are not allowed to disclose. However, it's going. It's talking about high three-digit numbers robots on lightweight. So there's a big potential behind the Daimler contract, and in the end, it's going towards the direction that really there's a close cooperation that you don't need a fence between the man and machine, and that's the part of this collaboration.
Coming back to your question, advanced robotics, it's around 20 million currently, our revenues. And your third question was regarding the yen. Yes, if we look into our P&L, then first we gain something from the weak yen because we have significant sourcing in yen, and that is getting cheaper for us. So our cost will be lower if the yen is weak. But the next question then is, what does it do to our top line? And there, the competitors, Japanese competitors, could be price aggressive, or they could be passive and be happy about a higher margin. So if, for example, in countries where they have a high market share, I would expect that they would not be so aggressive. That is one aspect. Then the other thing is, perhaps with the euro, we have a weak currency too. You never know. You never know how that develops. You should not look only on the yen, is my message there. And another aspect is if
competitors are hedging like we do against currency exchange, then very fast the gap is only half of that what it looks like. What is our answer? The best answer from our side is to look into efficiency, to do our homework and work on such issues. That is what we are constantly doing, and what I mentioned before, that has a high priority for us to work on this efficiency. For sure, we have long-term frame contracts, and it's not so easy to get us out there. We have this contract. So to sum it up, we have no fear on a weaker yen.
I think also you have to take into account that both, you know, if we talk about today with Fanuc as the Japanese competitor on the automotive side and us, you know, with us going to China, we are less depending on the pure euro. If in maybe fourth quarter in 2013, we have the production capacity of 5,000. We could even go higher in China. So, and Fanuc is not only in Japan; they also have application people in U.S., in Europe, and all around the world. So, there is some advantage. Peter was mentioning that we on the purchasing side have also some advantage on the yen side. However, I think we have to see how they really use it hardly in the discussion with the customer, which we do not see today. However, the yen we are also clearly following.
Okay, so basically you expect pricing discipline at your peers despite the weakening yen and despite the higher capacities that the peers are also building up.
Could you just the second part?
The second part is that your peers also invest heavily in their capacities. I was wondering how this might impact pricing.
No, I think first of all, this clearly there will be more pricey again if the yen weakens more. The question is how much of the advantage do people from the competitor give away? So you can follow the development of Fanuc, and then I think it's one assumption: are they going to have a fair price? Do they work hard on pricing, which we do not see today? Secondly, we, as also the other automotive automation companies, believe in the long-term trend of automation, and the forecast of IFR is long-term 5-10% growth year on year. And we are investing in China, and main people or the others are also investing in China. And you know, there's some plans for Europe, but I haven't seen anybody investing heavily production in Europe for this year. Clearly, you see people investing in China and production capacity in China, but with China having 25,000 robots last year and going up toward 30,000 robots, I think that clearly this market is expanding more, and therefore most robotic companies are investing in China, which then the yen in China is less of a factor than if they export from Japan. So I think it's a field where we have to follow the yen development. However, if people are investing out of Japan, they don't have this advantage as they have in Japan. So I think it's a very big picture which you have to take into account here.
Yes, hi gentlemen, Thomas Rao from Montega. Three questions, if I may. First of all, coming back to your slide 13, the expected revenues in general industry in 2015, how much of that above 700 million euros is referring to robotics, and how much to systems? Secondly, on your dividend policy, so your payout ratio in 2012 had been roughly 12%. What should we expect going forward? And finally, it seems that Asia should be the main growth market for KUKA in the coming years. Could you just give me an indication of how much of your business in robotics is coming from Asia already? Thank you.
Coming up in Asia in the future.
The GI number, the 700, we don't want to split between robotic and system.
Dividend, let me just, as you mentioned rightly today, We have 56 million of earnings after tax, net income, at 12%. And the explanation or the policy which we have in mind is as follows. Today we have an outstanding high yield with 200 million, which has an interest of 18 million, 8.75, approximately 18 million. Fuka is a company which is based and built on people and on innovation. Therefore, I think we have also to secure that the innovation rate and that we have the right people in our R&D department and the right people close to the customer. Secondly, we want to have an equity ratio of 30%. Today we are 26%. However, take into account that long-term we want to grow profitable and we have the opportunity, as you know, to buy back the high yield latest in November 2014. At a defined price of 103 point whatever, so we can buy it back, and we do have the cash on balance. So if we pay back the high yield, and as Peter mentioned, we have the convertible, we have an interest burden year on year of 1 to 2 million compared to 20 million today, which is the expansion on the net income side. And we see that this money, this 18 million, we have in our hands to give it to shareholders and invest in the company. So take into account that we are buying back the high yield, having enough money in R&D and having our equity ratio of 30%, we would have a policy of giving 20 to 30% of net income to shareholders long term. Asia, you have seen the 11% on the chart for Asia, which takes into account systems and robotics. As mentioned, robotics is 19% of business in China. You know, we do see that robotics, we are number one in automotive in China as we are in Europe. Out of these 3,500 robots, approximately 2.5 are automotive. And we see that Great Wall and others are coming further and further, and the degree of automation of Chinese OEM is at a level where we see big potential. Therefore, China is clearly a market where, you know, I like this one-third in the end. However, in robotics, we are in Asia, over 20%. We have to invest more in U.S. over time. So I see a share clearly going up to 30 and more for the next years for China. And we have to get more business in the U.S. over time.
Hello, Stefan Augustin, Kepler. Two questions on again on this DI 700 million. Does that figure include any possible acquisitions? The next one is your working capital development was quite strong, especially your percentages. The sales in the receivables are very low. Is this a one-off? Do you think there's reversal, or what is behind those very low percentages of sales on this? And the last one is your order intake guidance for the first quarter of 450. This is more than a 20% year-over-year decline. So this is correct? I understood this correctly?
Could it just be 450 for Q1?
I mean, just a couple of minutes ago, I thought I understood that you said you feel fine with an order intake level of 450 in the first quarter.
Yeah.
This is a 20% year-over-year decline or more. So
okay.
I just wanted to confirm this.
Okay. Just at the beginning, the first question I would do, then Peter can do the next two. All numbers which you see here are purely operational. There are no acquisition included, therefore any acquisition would come on top.
In working capital, we are working very much on optimizing working capital. That is a focus area for us internally. And how it develops for next year, or for the current year, is difficult to say. It depends on the payment behavior of our OEM
and that always can, an advance payment can always change the situation very much, that a 20 million account comes in or not. In general, it's an important issue for us to work on that one. And the order intake in quarter one, Till mentioned a 450, and that is, if you compare it to the 600 one year before, it's less, but the 600 was extraordinary. You should not compare it with this one. If you look into the last quarter four 2012, then it's more. So comparison with the 600 would not give the right impression.
I think we guided last year when we had this first quarter, which was, I think, 650, that you should not add up for quarter 650 because it was very much big conflicts from the automotive side and systems. So I think 450 shows you that 150 is a stable number, which also gives you some fundament for the full year, which shows that we're on the right track here.
Thank you very much.
Okay, and next question, Mr. Terzic.
Yes, Terzic, DZ Bank. Coming back to the acquisition question, are you planning any acquisitions in general industry? And you were not mentioning any acquisitions with your dividend payout determination. So could you please give us an idea of what your strategic plans behind this are? Then you said you're very...
I did not mention any acquisition on the dividend side.
You mentioned your innovation to be secure to pay back your bond, but you didn't mention any acquisition. So how important
cash out,
are they?
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. And then on your confidence about the automotive pipeline, why are you so confident? Is it because the pipeline grew of your current customers, or are you targeting new customers? And that makes you so confident. And finally, on your guidance regarding your sales, if you're very satisfied with the current demand from automotive and the robot trend is continuing, so what are the provisions that make you so cautious and be not more optimistic? Or asking another way, what are the major risks you see in 2013 for your sales?
Nice, you're asking what you're hedging up and downwards, so you're asking both ways. Why are you not more bullish? Why are you weak? So let me try to explain it. Acquisition, no acquisitions are in this numbers included. Clearly, our work is besides operational business to always screen acquisitions. Acquisitions we have on the one hand, one way of acquisition is that we are so-called arrondierung, that we are getting strengthen our position outside of Europe and get some more market share in automotive and or GI. Maybe focus will be on GI, but clearly, if we can add market share, if we can add to a strong position and getting stronger, that's really one of the ways we're looking at acquisition. Dividend, the 20 to 30% is clearly like a long-term rule of thumb where we want to go. We have about some 40, 50 million earmarked from the high yield as potential acquisition currency. But if we see something to buy which is fitting to our development towards GI or global regional diversification, that we are also willing to invest. However, I think that is part of our daily business, and therefore it's part of our screening. But the dividend was more like a rule of thumb that, given we have bought back the high yield, and we have a different interest burden on our side, we are also willing to pay back more to the shareholders. Automotive, why I'm positive, clearly, if you look at our today's customers like BMW, Daimler, Volkswagen, Audi, and Ford, customers which are had a great 2 years, so they have also still very strong balance sheets. They have to grow internationally, though, to keep their pace, to keep their growth. They have to invest in China, in the U.S. They have to really keep their market share by investing further in capacity and into new models. And the new models, if you look at the variety of models, which is still increasing, and if you see the demand that they have to invest in automation to keep their cost down, if they work on their hours per vehicle to be efficient, there are ways where I see that our customers have to work on their efficiency side, on the one hand in Europe, and also have to work on their top line in investing into China. And also what gives me also, if I see that automotive is stable, we clearly see also some signs of whatever, gray clouds, some clouds on the sky when you look at the registration numbers. If you look at South Europe, okay, we have to follow all this development. However, if you see some clouds, you also see that the Chinese OEM, the Great Wall, could be a big potential on the other side. So if the whole Chinese market, which is 20 million cars today or 22 million cars today, is expected to grow towards 35 to 40 million, approximately 50% of this car production in China is local. So just add to the next 5 years, 40 million cars, 50%, 20 million cars have to be manufactured locally. They are not automized. Do they have to be automized? Yes. If they want to export, and you have seen in Geneva the first Chinese cars, if they have to export, they need quality, they need crash tests. And that's all speaking for automation, that's talking for automotive, and talking for KUKA as being number one in automotive in robotic-based automation. So that gives me some ideas that really looking purely at the European and U.S. automotive companies, yes, we are on high level. It could be more difficult. However, we have this potential in China, which gives me some confidence. And together, I also have this feeling for automotive. Why are we not more bullish? You have seen VDMR last year, -3. We had +20. We had two tremendous years of 20% growth in 12 and in 11. And, we have prepared the product. I think it's also a few at the beginning of 2013 where, we believe we can deliver 1.8, and therefore we're telling you we're going to for 1.8. We do not see today more. However, we don't see even less than last year. So I think that's the number which we believe we will deliver at the year end. And if we're getting more supplies from China, we are also happy to increase the numbers. And if the situation will be more difficult and that we have the more frictions and more other things, we have to also guide you in the right direction. I think that's today the best guidance we can do, and therefore we see that after having the best year in 2012, we believe we can do in 2013 a little bit better on revenue and in profit, and that's what we want to achieve in 2013.
Yeah, hi, this is Volker Schmidt from Equinet. You just mentioned the strong growth potential in China. Do you see competition evolving from some local Chinese robotics manufacturers? Second question would be on your service business. I think you showed double-digit growth in your service business in the past 2 years. What are the growth prospects for this business in the next 2 to 3 years? And thirdly, you also mentioned in your presentation that you saw continued market share gains. Which or who of your competitors is losing market share?
Okay. Let me do number one and three, and Peter will do the first. China. I think as typical for German or for European U.S. engineering companies, we see in China some kind of a triangular. So we have the high quality, fair price, innovation products from Europe, from U.S., where you have strong pricing power. Then you see a very low cost piece. So I always draw on the piece of paper the triangle where we are in the top, together with Fanuc, EUB, and Yaskawa, having the global brands on robotics side. You see some robotic business, which is, question is it articulated, or is one or two arm robots, but they don't have really controls, they don't have the accuracy, which is maybe the low end. There's a market developing in this medium segment where clearly Chinese robot manufacturers are evolving. They have today maybe 200, 300 robots per year. And what we are doing is, on the one hand, we are a global brand. Whatever product you buy in China, what we develop for China, you can also buy globally in Brazil, in the U.S., in Europe. So once we have a product, it's a KUKA branded product, and you can have it globally. We have products specially designed for niche markets, for example, like a special arc welding product designed for certain functions, which is a little bit more, I'll call it, price sensitive for various customers. However, it's important this product you can buy all over the world. So We are acting that we in certain niches are taking so-called have a slimmer product to have it easily described that we are doing, and we are clearly have to differentiate. There are functions where you cannot work with a low-cost robotic robot, and also companies like Foxconn are buying Fuka robots, are buying Fanuc, are buying ABB. Really, for some functions, they don't need this highly qualified robots, but there is market today for the high innovative robots. There's market for the medium segment. There's market for the low segment. Fuka is in the high segment. We have to work on the pricing side. And clearly, we have also thought about how can we maybe attack other markets. But you have also to keep in mind, we will never damage our brand name because our robot works 35,000 hours, and which is 7 to 10 years. And it's not like 3 months and then you just put another one in place. I think the functionality of our robot is different to the other ones. And the only question which we have to do our service is there a second market? Should we have a second brand? This are clearly a task which we are doing internally to define is this market more, is it attractive for us? Should we have also some more like a platform that we have a cooker and a second brand serving the market? But that's something today where we really focus on this so-called high-quality brand globally.
And your second question was about a service business. How does it develop? If you think about what is the driver for growth in the service business, then it's clearly the installed base. And our installed base is currently around 140,000 robots, and that we sold and grow so much the last years will provide the growth to the service of the next years. There is, after our guarantee is over and the robot is getting older and older, let's say half of the lifetime of the robots, then the service kicks in and we have then some revenues, the high revenues from the service. And therefore, we expect growth in service, yeah, because we have a higher installed base and it's getting higher every year.
So double-digit growth, that's what we can expect? Mentioned your strong growth in the installed base.
Yeah. If it is double digit, I would say high single digit.
I think we gave you the guidance that in robotics the EBIT for 2013 will be in the range of 10 to 10.5. That was clearly part of the robotics piece, so that should be the right guidance. On the market share, we gained market share. What if you look at the positioning of the four major players, Fanuc is number one, Kuka and AB are number two, A and B, Yaskawa is number three. 3 years ago, Yaskawa was number two, and AB and us were behind Yaskawa. So really, we got some share from Yaskawa both. I think much more important is that we got the four big got market share from the smaller ones. As you can see, every year the R&D spending for Kuka is in the range of 50 million. The R&D ratio in robotics is from 8%, 7 to 8%. In systems, it's lower because it's most mainly customer-intended or application R&D, which is also put on projects. So really, the R&D costs are really a cost burden every year for a robotic company, and therefore, if you don't have enough revenue, if you're not big enough, sizable, that's something where the big companies got more market share from the smaller ones. I think also what Peter just mentioned, the installed base gives you some stable revenue year on year on the service, on the spare parts, on the training, and therefore that's also the advantage that the hurdles to enter a market and giving the pace of R&D, the innovation rate, that helps us in protecting people to come up in the market. And so I think the top four, we and AB gained share, Yaskawa lost, and the smallest had to have a more difficult life.
Okay, thanks.
Next question. Right. Come on, right behind. On the Daimler cooperation, I think the sales volume there, you generate there is loss-making. when do you ship these high three-digit number of lightweight robots? And when do you expect results that you can leverage the results of this cooperation to other OEMs? And what is the ramp-up curve of the sales of the lightweight robots in the future, for the next couple of years?
Mm-hmm. I didn't 100% understand the... You see, sales volume is loss-making at the beginning. I did not...
Yes, you should generate some sales volume from this cooperation.
Yeah, especially I think it's important that the cooperation is, first of all, a cooperation in the area of R&D. It's an Entwicklungskooperation, so we are together developing the man-machine interaction. Today, there is no way that man and machine can work together. Not allowed. So there is no other robot company in the world which is, you know, maybe in, behind the scenes, but this is the cooperation between Daimler, where we really are tapping new areas where will allow, once this is possible, that we can really work closely with the robot, but further application around, you know, in assembly and other areas will be tapped, and that you have further efficiencies and that, you know, the cost of production is going down. Why today, as I mentioned in the body invite, this high degree of automation is questions how fast can you leverage the know-how from body invite into a general industry. It takes maybe longer because it's a specific process. But if you look at assembly, if someone is called Jobson sets or different things, it's very much today functions in final assembly or transmission assembly, motor assembly, it's much more easy to compare the GI than body invite plant. So the conversion from automotive to general industry is for the lightweight much faster than what we have seen in the body in white piece. And therefore, I believe that once the Daimler collaboration is going to the next level, and we have 2 years of close cooperation in this field, and after the 2 years, we are open to sell to others and to work with others and to really also have their much more market potential. However, we are... and that now I would have to first check with legal what I can tell you, because I can't disclose details of a cooperation with one of our customers. We have clearly waste. We have not waste. We can sell lightweight to other customers as well, and that's only specific areas we're working together, and therefore clearly. It's not a limitation that Daimler is the only customer we can sell lightweight to. We can also sell to many other customers. We might have some frictions in other automotive companies, but it must be important that we are working on this man-machine interaction. And if this outcome is realized, then this level will help us to get much more revenue here. And if you talk about the revenue potential, I did the math on the Agilus with some 70 million revenue potential in the future, and we believe that the lightweight potential is much higher. Cannot disclose the numbers for Daimler, but the revenue potential for lightweight over the next 3 to 5 years will be above 100 million. Not with Daimler in total, yes.
Current customers to supply with lightweight robots. For the time being?
For the time being. You know, we have, for example, Infineon was a customer of ours for the wafer handling. We have some medical applications where the lightweight is used. So we have a variety of applications where we're working. But people working, you know, lightweight is today, we have a lightweight version 5. We have the 4 plus. So people are already working with the lightweight robot. It means that the market is being prepared for this new application, and the tactile element, the sensitivity on the one hand, is can be used in what's called behind the fence, and will be much more open and much more a ways of collaboration once it's allowed to work without a fence. So we are already today, without the man-machine cooperation, we're using the tactile element in applications with Infineon, and once we have this, we have moved into the next level, then also more applications are going to open up.
We expect in R&D a stable absolute level of expenditures, or also a stable relative ratio.
The expenditures will go up. In the current year, we are expecting now a level of 55 million euro, and the year before we had 47. It is now talking about what is the cash relevant budget. In the P&L, it's different. We somehow put a part of it activate, and another part goes as depreciation into the P&L. If you think about P&L, it's 50 million, but if you look at the cash out, it's something like 55.
But as I mentioned at the EBIT guidance, that we have 11%, 10.9% for 2012, and we guided 10% as taking into account the higher R&D spending. So that's already integrated in the guidance.
Thank you.
Question?
Christian Breitsprecher from Macquarie. I have two questions regarding the fourth quarter. When I look at the numbers, it seems that your financial result in the fourth quarter was rather strong and the tax rate pretty low. Can you explain what's behind it, and then also give us a guidance what we should think about in terms of financial results for 2013 and also tax rate?
Quarter four, I mentioned before that we had in 2011, we had the convertible. And that is, if you compare it to the prior year, the convertible is not in anymore in 2012. And therefore, you see a better financial result. But if in general, it should be on the same level than in 2013 than in 12. And the tax rate was at 38% over the whole year in 2011. Then this year we had 38% too, and that comes mainly from U.S. In the U.S. we had a higher tax rate; it was 41. The normal rate you can expect in America is something like a 38, but we had a 41 due to that we had in 2011 some tax subsidies, which were not there anymore in the current year, and some aperiodic tax payments. If you look into 2013, I would calculate with something like 35.
Limit?
Yeah, Harald Limit, LBBW. Could you please share with us your expectations concerning incoming orders in systems and robotics for the current year? So do you expect a level around about sales volume? Or what can we expect here? Second question, besides the R&D plans, what are your general CapEx plans for the current year? Mainly with or without R&D, you could be precisely here. And last question regarding the new LBR you want to present at the Hannover Trade Fair. When do you think the marketing of the product, the sales of the product will start? Because if I see it right, other customers you go for with this product, general industry, I think, mainly. So where is the difference between what you are doing with Daimler and when we could expect there the first incoming orders or sales?
Mm-hmm. And your first question was more or less the book-to-bill ratio, if I'm right. Order intake? Development?
One possibility, or directly, your expectations looking at robotics and systems, where you see the general trend, maybe robotics a bit higher and the systems a bit lower, or?
I think the book-to-bill would be around one, and then roughly, I would expect. And the main driver I see in systems.
Yeah. And CapEx, we expect for business, for investments in the business, something like 55 million euros.
Without R&D?
Including activated R&D. That is an investment in immaterial assets. And there we expect something between 15 and 20 million.
No, we have a 25 to 30% quota out of the R&D spending of 55 million, so that's one part of CapEx. The other part is China, as you mentioned, or the expansion in Hungary, or what we have spent here. On the lightweight robot, you're all welcome to come to the Hannover Fair, which is clearly a presentation of our lightweight called IVA, intelligent, innovative work assistant. Daimler and KUKA will set a standard in how to do this collaboration between man and machine. The fair will show how we can, which applications are possible with a lightweight robot. I think it's all important to also to see that we have on the one hand the industrial portfolio with the Agilo 6 kilo to the Titan with 1.3 ton, which have a specific, which have our customers from automotive and GI. And then we do have the lightweight robot, which is an additional product with further curve specifications with a haptic element. And we can clearly sell the lightweight robot to our existing customers. However, it also has features and potential application that the customer portfolio will be broader. And that's also where we're investing on the GI side and further people who can explain the features of the lightweight robot. To start with the Hannover Fair, where we can have and share what is possible with lightweight with customers. And as you can see, the Agilos, we did start the sale with Agilos in September. I see that the push through with the lightweight will be more towards the end of 2013 and 14. We have the Agilos now ramped up, so we have to also have a team focused on Agilos. You have contact Agilos, and then we have the launch of lightweight at Hannover Fair, introduced to our customers, show them the application, show them what is possible with the lightweight, and then having end of 13, 14, we really push in the market on the GI side and also have the first results from Daimler.
For the GI side, is there also a kind of cooperation necessary to develop special applications, or is it your own application or your own idea what's doing with the GI customers?
The idea is that we're also happy to have partnerships where we have numbers of robots behind it. So something where we'll be happy to invest in R&D if the customer is helping us with this, or if we have specific topics. On R&D, we do have our own application. So KUKA is doing the application for the customers, but it's also important that our software, lightweight, come with also a new software generation called Sunrise, will allow that the way of programming, the teaching in, that means that you can guide a robot, and by guiding in, you also do the programming will be much easier, and therefore it will allow that the users can be much broader. Our idea is we want to have a product. The robot is like, it's one I don't want to use, but like an iPhone, like a piece which you can use, and you have the software, the application, and it's the way that you can use as many applications you can get from KUKA. You can get from others, but you have to use KUKA-based software. And our software will allow in the future, and that's also the software for the lightweight, that the user or integrator can, based on the KUKA control, the KUKA software, do the application. And you can decide if you want to have the expert version from KUKA for whatever application, or you want to have an easy application which you might do on your own because the programming is much easier in the future. And then you are maybe, you say, okay, I just want to have an easy application, three functions, I do it on my own. And that is the idea that we really have this broadened population of robots, thereby also increasing the installed base.
If there are no further questions, yeah, thank you for your participation and for your time. And if you have further questions, please feel free to contact Investor Relations of KUKA. And for this, I wish you a very nice evening.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.